Good morning. I am so honored to be here with you this morning. I got a little bit spoiled and got to come to first service. I usually only go to second and third because we have a couple of little ones that are two and under. So I try and use wisdom with that. But it's just my honor to be up here. It's my honor to be one of your pastors. And Pastor Khan, I love you guys so much. Even though I'm not always present in this room, just know that I am always praying for each of you. I love you guys. And Pastor Kyle and I are just so thankful for each and every one of you and this church. So we are going to be closing out week 5 of our series, You Asked For It. This week, we're going to be talking about family. So sorry if you don't want to hear about that, but you asked for it. So back when we did our survey at Easter, this was one of those top 5 things that you all said that you wanted to hear more about. So Pastor Kyle has now given that to me to share with you this morning. But this is something that I am very passionate about, that Kyle is very passionate about. We want and believe that healthy families are vital and important to a healthy world and a healthy church. So it's my honor to be able to speak on this morning, and I'm excited, and I've been really pumped preparing for this week. And I love reading lots of books. I love reading parenting books and how to be a good mom and even a good wife. So this is something that I am very passionate about. So if you haven't already, feel free to grab your message notes out of your worship guide if you want to follow along in that way. And we're going to get into the message here. Today I'm going to be focusing specifically on what I believe are healthy values for families. This is not all-encompassing. This isn't everything to do with parenting. It would take a lot longer than just one message to be able to touch every area, but I do believe that these principles, that these values are important and a first step to getting to a healthy family point. So we're going to just cover a few of those today. Proverbs 24:3 tells us it takes wisdom to have a good family, and it takes understanding to make it strong. So my prayer for you this week and today has been that I can share some wisdom with you, some biblical wisdom, and that hopefully you can gain some understanding from that. And I believe that if you and your family can get these values strong, that it really will make a big difference for you. The best parenting truly is done God's way. So what I'm sharing with you, I believe, are these biblical values that are essential to that healthy family and healthy kids. I think you'll also find that this message really can't apply to anybody. So if you're not a parent, maybe you're a kid. Obviously, you have to be a kid of some sort. So either way, whether you're a child or you are a parent or both, I believe that these values really can apply to every aspect of life and every relationship. So that being said, our first check mark here in our message notes is genuine faith. So when preparing for this message this week and hearing that word genuine, I went ahead and looked up the definition of that. And the definition simply means truly what something is said to be. So genuine faith is an ongoing relationship with the Lord that takes us throughout our week, that is part of our everyday life. Not just going to church on Sundays, although I do believe that that's important. Pastor Kyle and I, obviously, we're pastors, so we believe in the local church. We truly believe that the local church is the hope of the world. So we do believe that going to church on a Sunday is important. It's important to instill that in your children, but having a genuine faith is a lot more than that. It is having that relationship with the Lord, that conversation with God, learning to hear his voice, and making sure that you're living according to his word. And if you want a strong family, you really do need this strong, genuine relationship with the Lord like I'm sharing with you today. If you don't get this first check mark right, if you don't get it strong, you're going to have a really difficult time getting these other check marks to line up with what they should be. So your first focus has to be making sure that you have that genuine faith, that genuine relationship with the Lord that is strong and strong in you individually. So I encourage you to talk to your kids about why you attend church. They do model behavior, whether good or bad. And so teaching them why we attend church, but why we serve, why a relationship with the Lord is important, those are all very important for your kids to know and understand. And it's our responsibility to teach them that. Our kids pull strength from our relationship with the Lord. And if we are strong in our relationship with God, then our kids are going to be more likely to follow suit. But if mom and dad don't have that strong relationship, then it's going to be a lot more difficult for your children to be able to have that strong relationship. Help them see that value in a relationship with the Lord. Joshua 24:15 tells us, "Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Now, this is a scripture that Kyle and I, it's very important for our home. Jesus Christ, first and foremost, is the Lord of our home. He is first priority in our lives, in every area of our lives. But we have to choose as mom and dad who is going to be the Lord of our home, who's going to be that head of our home. And I truly believe that if we can get that genuine faith strong individually, strong in mom and dad, then you're going to see strong families when it comes to that faith. So I encourage you to really ask the Lord to help you to grow individually so that you can be that example and that model for your children. Our next checkmark here is intentional schedules. So schedules are very important. This is a very practical one. I encourage you to make sure that you are making time together as a family. We have to choose how we do and don't spend our time. There's some things that are more important than others, and it's up to you as mom and dad to help yourselves and your children to determine what things are important and what things are not. And if you do have busy weeks, maybe you're just a busy person generally, I would encourage you to make time together, even if that means setting out a schedule and scheduling time that you can sit down together and be together. And be careful of how much time that you're spending on electronics or media, whether it be TV, iPads, iPhones, whatever, Androids, whatever you like to use. I know some of your kids will probably freak out if you take away some of those things or limit the time. I know our kids do. We tend to use it as a reward more than anything, or like a very end of the day, you get 30 minutes on one of those things, and that's it. And of course, they freak out when you take it away. It's like you took away their ice cream. But and if you're like me, your iPad's been taken over. Mine has been confiscated by a 2-year-old. He thinks it's his, and he tells me all the time, "That's my iPad." No, that's my iPad. It's not your iPad. So I have to remind him of that often. But it's not that we're against electronics. I don't believe that they're bad or anything like that. But I think too much time on any electronic, whether it's a TV, video game, phones, iPads, it's unhealthy if you spend so much time on that that you're sacrificing that time as a family. So instead, sit down and have a conversation together. Take time and ask your kids questions. This is a really important one. Ask open-ended questions. This is something that what that means really is just ask them questions that's going to incite more than just a yes or no answer, because it's real easy just to get a quick yes or a no, especially, you know, if you've got teenagers, they just yes, no, that's all they want to say. So I encourage you to find some open-ended questions. I always drive Ashton to school and pick her up, and so every day on the way home, it drives her crazy, but I always ask her, what was something good that happened today? See, it requires more than just a yes or no. Of course, she always likes to say recess. So I have to say, other than recess and other than lunch, what is something good that happened today? And so then that makes her have a conversation with me. And then what was something that was not so good that happened today? Because reality is there's some not so good stuff that happens throughout our kids' days. And that's honestly helped to open up some conversation even with her and I. There was a time last year where through asking those questions on our ride home, I found out that there was a little girl that was not being so nice to her. So then it helped me. Then I knew what was happening. I had a knowledge of the issue, and then I was able to talk to her about that and how to handle that situation and guide her along what we were going to do to make sure that didn't continue to happen. So be careful just how much time you're allowing yourself to do that, spending on electronics, not talking, but be careful how much time you're spending running around from place to place. Because Psalms 39:6 tells us, "We are merely moving shadows, and all of our busy rushing ends in nothing." So rushing gets you nowhere fast. And Ecclesiastes 4:6 tells us, "It's better to have only a little with peace of mind than be busy all the time." So really, less is more, especially when it comes to our schedule. So just be mindful about how much time you are running around from place to place. And it's easy, especially if your kids do like extracurriculars or sports, it's easy, especially if you have more than one, to be gone multiple nights throughout the week running your kids to 10 different activities or sports. But the reality is those sports aren't going to help build character as much as that's what society has tried to tell us. Parents build character. So the best thing you can do is to spend time with your kids and instill that character in them yourself rather than relying on somebody else to do it. There's nothing wrong with sports or anything like that. Just limit time and limit the extracurricular activities to make sure that it's not taking the place of family time. So, in that being said, make sure that instead you take time and sit down together, eat dinner together. This is something that we make sure happens as much as possible in our house. There's, of course, weeks that are busier than others. Sometimes we have to be more flexible. But we try and make sure that we're sitting down together throughout the week and having dinner together. And then that gives us the opportunity to then have a conversation with our children and with each other. That's good for mom and dad, and it's good for the parent-child relationship to make sure that we're having those conversations and understanding what's happening in our kids' lives. And through that, it then is teaching your children how to have a conversation, because reality is, with all this technology, a lot of kids don't know how to have a conversation, and that's because nobody's teaching them. So that's our responsibility as mom and dad, to teach our children how to have a conversation, how to pass the question back and forth and actually having an ongoing conversation and not just those yes or no answers all the time. Our next check mark here is discovering purpose. So just last week, actually, my husband shared a great message on purpose and passion, and he talked about how finding your purpose and then your passion will follow. So you have to find that purpose. Mom and dad have to find the purpose. You have to help your kids find that purpose. And then when you do, that passion will then follow your purpose. So that's something he reminded us of last week, and how knowing your purpose as mom and dad is very important. But just as vital is helping your kids to discover their purpose. So, you know, if you have a nine-month-old like we do, he probably doesn't know his purpose yet. He wouldn't understand even if you tried to tell him. So that's okay. But just be mindful of those different seasons. We do spend a lot of time talking about purpose here at Elevate. It is something that we believe truly is very important. And it's something that we do through our growth track. So we have our growth track. It's 4 weeks. Today is actually the first week of that, so if you have not gone through Growth Track, I encourage you, go through it, especially if you have teenagers even. They can go through it with you, and you guys can discover your purpose together and then begin to walk in that purpose, and I really believe that if you can do that, you're going to see some good, healthy changes in your family. Acts 20:24 says, "However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me." So through that, we can take that one of our greatest tasks as mom and dad that God has given us is to be a parent. It's one of the greatest gifts that he's given us, and it's one of the greatest responsibilities that he's given us. So I encourage you, talk to your kids. Talk to them about why we attend church. Talk to them about how important it is for them to discover their gifts. Focus on their strengths. Help them define what those strengths are. I'm sure each of you could probably identify at least one thing that your child is good at or really is strong in, and help them to see that and grow in that. Be their biggest cheerleader and their number one support. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs." Now, this verse absolutely applies to everybody. This is not just the parent-child relationship. This is every relationship. The Bible is clear. It tells us we should never let unwholesome talk come out of our mouths. So what that means is the words that we say should be life-giving. They shouldn't be life-taking. They should be encouraging. They should be loving. So again, don't focus on your kids' weaknesses. Instead, focus on their strengths and speak life over them. Don't ever tear them down. Don't ever allow your words be ones that would degrade them or make them feel less than. The reality is none of us is good at everything. We're all going to have those areas. I am terrible at math, like terrible. That's not a strong suit for me. So I have to focus on other areas that I'm strong in. But with our kids, when we find something that they're good at, we really try and help them to see how good they are in that area. Mark 10:16 tells us that he took the children in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them.
Now, this verse in Mark is actually talking about Jesus, that Jesus would take the children, they would bring the children to him, and he would bless the children. Now, you have to know that Jesus is very specific. There's no way, I can guarantee, there's no way it was just a quick, bless you, my son, bless you, my daughter. He would have been very specific. He would have been speaking purpose over these kids. He would have been speaking words of life over them, encouraging them. Maybe they were struggling in an area. He would have been encouraging that. So if Jesus is specific, then we should be specific. And when it comes to our kids, we have to learn to speak words of life over them. The Lord spoke to me several months back to really change kind of how I was doing this. So Kyle and I, we always pray with our kids before bed. We always have that family prayer time together. But the Lord really challenged me to, outside of that, to let our kids hear the words come out of my mouth. Let them verbally hear what I believe in them, what I see in them, the good that I see in them. So I started saying things like, over Ashton specifically as a young girl, that she would grow and that she would find her validation never in a man, never in this world, never in what the media tells her, but rather that she would find her validation from God, that our kids would have a relationship with Jesus from a young age, that the enemy would never have one day of their life, that they would be full of purpose and destiny, that they would hear his voice at a young age and learn to discern what the Lord is telling them at a young age, no matter how young they are, that they would always have that strong relationship with him, that they would be leaders and not followers, that they would be healthy all the days of their lives. And I speak those things over them verbally and let them hear those things. We both do as a family unit. That's what we do for our kids. So I encourage you, speak life over your kids. Our next check mark here is right relationships. So most of us have heard the saying, you are who you hang with. I'm sure if you've been around for any amount of time, you realize there really is some validity to that. I know that's true based off my own life. But Proverbs 27:19 tells us, a mirror reflects a man's face, but what he's really like is shown by the kinds of friends that he chooses. So really, you are who you hang with. Proverbs 13:20 says, he who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. I've definitely done that. I've been a companion of fools in my life, and I've definitely suffered harm because of it. So let me say this. If you see healthy relationships in your kids' lives, push them towards those relationships. This is a decision that Kyle and I made a long time ago, that when we see those healthy relationships in our kids' lives, that we're going to encourage that relationship, and then we're going to help them draw boundaries where those relationships aren't so healthy. So, you know, with Ashton, last year she met a little girl in class, and, you know, she just loved this little girl. She played with her all the time, and so I got to know her mom. You know, her mom had reached out to me, and we started talking and hanging out, and then she would come over to our house, and Ashton would go over there. But any opportunity we had with her at our house, we were always asking her questions, not in an intimidating way. We weren't freaking her out or anything, but we were sitting at a dinner table, getting to know her, getting to know her family dynamic. And even at 6, 7 years old, she was able to at least give us enough information that made us feel like, okay, one, we know now you attend church. Not that it's all about that, but we know that there's that dynamic in their home. Get to know, you know, what her relationship with mom and dad are like, and that's important. And through that, you know, that's a relationship that we really encourage, and we love that little girl. She's just a sweetheart, and we love her parents, so that's just something that the Lord has really challenged us in. And then there have been times where we've had to help draw some boundaries, that we've had to limit time with certain friends, and it's nothing against those children. But the reality is our responsibility first and foremost is for our child. And so we have to make sure that who they are around, who they are spending their time with, is a healthy relationship. 2 Corinthians 6:14 tells us, do not be yoked together with unbelievers. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? So this verse isn't saying never talk to anybody who isn't a believer. That's not what it's saying. But it is telling us to be cautious, to set boundaries where needed, to make sure that we are limiting time that our children spend, or even you as mom and dad spend, with those relationships that aren't so healthy. And we have to use wisdom in that. And your kids may not like it, probably going to protest at times, I'm sure, especially as the teenage years approach. They're going to protest more and more because they have more and more will that they want to see happen in their lives. But kids, listen, your mom and dad, if they're asking you questions, it's because they love you. If they are talking to you about limiting time with certain friends, it's because they love you, because they want the best for you. And that really brings us here to our last check mark, and that is apply grace. Ephesians 4:32 says, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ God forgave you." Now, this is what Christ has done for us over and over. Jesus always forgives us. He loves us no matter what, no matter how many times we mess up, do the wrong thing, he still loves us. And this really applies to every area of our life. Again, it's not just that parent-child relationship. This really can apply across the board. And while all of these values, all of these points are very important, this is probably the most difficult because those who we are closest to tend to hurt us the most. And so therefore, those are the ones that are most difficult to give grace to give that love to, even when they have made those bad choices. But remember, we all are imperfect. The Bible is clear. It tells us that none of us is without sin, that all of us have fallen short. So remember, we're all imperfect and we all make mistakes. And mom and dad, you're going to mess up. I promise you, you already have and you will in the future. I know we mess up. We don't always make the best decisions. But I encourage you that when you do make bad decisions, that you take responsibility. And this is something that in our lives that we really try and model before our kids. Specifically, you know, with Ashton and Judah, they're our oldest. We really try and make sure that if we respond to them in a way that we shouldn't, maybe we've taken something out on them. Maybe mom's having a bad day, so everybody's having a bad day type of attitudes, which I'm guilty of at times. I really try and make sure that I'm taking responsibility for that. And one, it's important because anytime across the board you make a wrong decision, you should take responsibility. But then two, you're then teaching your children to do the same. That in their relationships as they grow, that when they do make those mistakes, that they take responsibility for that and learn from the way that you model it before them. So make sure when your kids do mess up, because I promise you they will. If they are young, I promise you as they get older, it's going to get worse. Not a doom and gloom, it's just reality. You know, they're going to mess up, and sometimes they're going to mess up really, really big. But just remember that when they do, that you make sure, first and foremost, that they know how much you love them and that they could never do anything that's ever going to make you love them any less. When they do mess up, you're not excusing the behavior and you make sure they understand that. Listen, I'm not okay with this choice. I am not okay with these decisions that you're making or these actions or behaviors. But I do love you, but we are going to have a conversation about this because that's not okay. And make sure that they understand that and they know that. Now, I'm sure there's probably some kids in here that are thinking, you don't understand. My parents are so hard on me, or they have so many rules, or, you know, they make me do so many chores, or, you know, you just don't understand. Or maybe there's some parents in here that are thinking, you don't get it. You know, my kids, they drive me crazy. They are messing up left and right. Listen, I may not understand it all. I know I don't know everything, but I do know this, that mom and dad have your best at heart. They truly do love you. And even though they mess up, mom and dad want with everything within them to make sure that you have a good, healthy life in the future. They love you and they want what's best for you. And if you've got parents that are asking you questions that are wanting to get in your life and in your business, it's because they love you. It's because they want to know what's happening in your life. And that's good. It's healthy. And that's right. It's never too late, mom and dad. It is never, ever too late to give grace to your kids, to love them, even when they've made terrible decisions. And sometimes, like I said, they are really bad decisions. But just know it's never too late to show them grace and to embrace them. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train children to live the right way. And when they are old, they will not stray from it." Now, I didn't put this message together this morning with the belief that if you do everything just right, just perfect, that your kids are going to be perfect, because they're not. It doesn't matter how good of decisions you make as mom and dad, they're still going to make bad decisions. But it is our responsibility, like Proverbs says, to train children up in the way that they should go. And then that when they're older, that they would not depart from him. So as I'm closing out this morning, I want to share a story with you. This is a story of a young girl and God's grace at work in her life. This young girl was raised in a Christian home by Christian parents who loved Jesus and did their best to model Jesus' love to her. This young girl began hanging around the wrong crowd in her early teenage years. She began doing drugs and drinking, and by the time she was a freshman in high school, she'd allowed herself to compromise her beliefs and body in the area of sexual purity. By the time she was a senior in high school, she'd managed to get herself arrested for 2 felonies. Before her 19th birthday, she had already been arrested for a DUI. She began spiraling downhill and started experimenting heavily with harder drugs and more alcohol. Her family prayed for her year after year. They believed that God could take this young girl and get a hold of her heart. They prayed for her to come to know Jesus in a very real way. Now you might be thinking, whoa, that kid had issues. Her parents needed a lot of grace. And you'd probably be right. They probably did need a lot of grace. Some of you might even be thinking, man, that sounds a lot like my story. Or maybe it sounds a lot like your kids, maybe your son or your daughter. But see, the reality is that's none of your story. It's actually my story. That is my testimony. That is the story of me. See, before I was ever a mom, before I was ever married to my husband, before I ever came to know the Lord, that was me. That was my story. See, I had walked far from God. I had shut the door to anything and anybody that wanted to show me love or show me grace. I had put walls up where they shouldn't be. I had completely walked away. Now, see, I'm sharing this with you today because I truly believe that there are some moms and dads in here who are ready to give up. And I'm here to tell you, don't give up. It's never too late, no matter how old your kids are, no matter how far they've walked from God, because I promise you, it is never too late. And my parents are here to witness it. It's never too late. I know this, that God's word is true. God is faithful. He's faithful to his word, just like Proverbs says, that if you train children up in the way they should go, they will not depart from him. Even though they make bad decisions, they will not depart from him. So I urge you today, mom and dad, don't give up on your kids. Don't give up on your kids. I want to take just a moment to pray with you as we're closing out this morning. If you would, just bow your heads with me. Father, I pray for each and every person that's in here today. I ask, God, that you would strengthen families. Lord, I ask that you would use this message today to encourage some moms and dads to take on that great responsibility of parenting, that they would do it God's way, that they wouldn't give up on their kids. Lord, I speak healing into families for those that have walked away from God, that have walked far from God. Lord, I just declare right now in Jesus' name that you will bring healing to families, that you will bring families together that have been separated and far apart, that you would remove the walls, God, that many have built up in their hearts and in their minds and in their spirits. God, I speak life over families. I speak life over moms and dads who are ready to quit, ready to give up. God, that you would re-strengthen them, that you would encourage them. God, that you would give them that next ability to be able to apply that grace like they need to, God. That they would get these values strong in their personal lives so that they can then see it strong in their families. And with every head bowed and every eye closed, maybe that story sounds like you. Maybe you're like me and you're far from God. Maybe you had a relationship with him at one point and you've walked away. Or maybe you never had a relationship with God. If you died today, maybe you don't even know where you would go. But I'm here to tell you, God is calling you home. If that's you, in just a moment, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. Now, by raising your hand, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to single you out. It's just you letting me know that you want me to include you in this prayer that we're going to pray. So if you can say that's you, that you need a relationship with Jesus, that you've been far from him, on the count of three, if you raise your hand, 1, 2, 3. I see that hand. I see that one. I see you back there. Thank you. I see those hands. Thank you. Amen. Amen. So we're going to pray together. If everyone, you would pray this with me. And if you raised your hand, just say this from your heart. Lord Jesus, I need you. I know that I am a sinner, and I am sorry for my sins. Forgive me, Lord, for living my life my own way. Today, I invite you to be the Lord of my life, to take control of my life. Help me to become the person that you want me to be. Thank you for loving me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Come on, let's put our hands together this morning.